George Floyd and Jesus give voice to the voiceless. And this morning we'll be talking about racism. And I got the following roadmaps for us to follow. Number one, I want to talk to you about why is racism, first and foremost, a sin against God. Before racism is a social issue, before racism is this phenomenon that is poisoning our culture, before all of that, first and foremost, racism is an affront, offense to God. And number two, why do we commit the sin of racism in the first place? And number three, then what is the cure for racism? And then I'd like to end with application. In amongst all those movements, you will see two of my friends from Mosaic House Church, Vincent and Agnes, sharing their stories as well. So let's get to it. Number one, why is racism such an offense before God's face? Why is racism, more than anything else, a sin against the Lord God Almighty? And we get the answer from the book of the Bible, Genesis. In chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, here's what we read. And the big idea, this is what the theologians call the image of God doctrine. It's the doctrine, theology of image of God. We are image bearers of the Creator. Listen to these words. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Friends, the big idea is this. The second biggest doctrine in the Bible, after the doctrine of God, is the doctrine of humanity or anthropology. Who are we? What are we? And the Bible answers that question by saying, we are image bearers of God. You see, in us, we have received inherently in our DNA, in our soul and spirit, something of God's character, His glory, His beauty, His majesty. What God is being represented. It has been seated in our soul and spirit. And that's what the Bible is saying. You are, more than anything else, before you are anything else, in terms of attributes as a person, you are what? An image bearer of God. You know what that means? Number one, it means, friends, listen to this. Your self-worth is grounded in your Maker. Your significance, which you seek so hungrily, does not rest in your performance or in your work, in your career, or in your impact. Your significance hangs simply because you have been made in the image of God. Your self-value is grounded in nothing else but the fact, but the solid significance that you bear the likeness of God Almighty. This also means when you see someone else, as you walk to the supermarket, as you sit in the seat of train or bus on your way to work, you are looking at not simply a creature, but a creature, a man and a woman, who bears the very likeness, the image of the invisible God. And therefore, we ought to treat everyone with respect, dignity. What this means is when you are speaking to a person, when you are doing any relational interaction with another human being, you are dealing with, you are speaking to, you are receiving and giving something of yourself and from that person bears the exact glory, the weight and the beauty and the majesty of God. This is so important. back in the 60s, south of the border, there was the civil rights movement. And the idea was this: every human being, regardless of the color of their skin or race, deserves rights and therefore deserves protection from the government, right? Here's a question for you. Where did that idea come from? Where did it come from? Well, it did not come from the Western world, because Aristotle, the great philosopher, someone who is smarter than anyone else in this room, smarter than you or me, this is what he said. He said, some races are born to be slave. It didn't come from him. You know where it came from? The idea that every human being deserves rights and therefore deserves protection, self-dignity, and self-respect. It came from the Bible, the doctrine of image of God. That's right, that's right. And therefore, what matters more than anything else as to who you are as a human being, as a person, as a creature, as an anthropology student, is this theology and doctrine, which is, you are made in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 9, this is what God says. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood, by human blood, by humans, shall their blood be shed. And then here's the rationale. For in the image of God has God made mankind. You know why murder is wrong? It's not because we're breaking the law, first and foremost. It is wrong because we are taking the life of somebody who has been made in the image of God. Why does the Bible say, thou shalt not steal? Because whatever you're stealing from, that person has been made what? In the image of God. Why does the Bible say, thou shalt not lie? Because that person to whom you're lying has been made in the image of God. You see, the whole fabric of life, the way you and I should treat one another with respect, dignity, it came from the Bible. This great, great idea that we have been made in the image of God. Now, I want to invite Vincent and Agnes from Mosaic House Church, and I want you to hear their story as to what it's been like for them when they have faced racism. Because when you are acting in this tone, in the spirit of racism, you are breaking the law of God, because you are doing something harmful to another being who is bearing the image of God. So come and let us listen to their story. Because when you hear their story, you are giving voice to the voiceless.
How has racism impacted the way I see myself? Racism has allowed me to be very competitive, has allowed me to work harder, has allowed me to really work harder than my peers and my colleagues, simply because if I want similar opportunities, I have to be better than they are. I chose not to be a victim, but I've chosen to let it work in my favor, because at the end of the day, I have to have certain talents. I have to have certain skills to be afforded opportunities. And what I've chosen to do is I've really chosen to really work hard enough so that I'm better than my colleagues. And I have the mindset that I have to be twice as good or better than my colleagues to be afforded an opportunity. And the only way that happens is for me to work harder.
You know, it really affected me for a long time. As a child, I grew up, I wanted to be anything but Native. People would say, you know, you could just tell people that you look Filipino. Say that you're Filipino. Say that you're Chinese. Say that you're anything but Indian. And it took me a long time to really get to the point where I was comfortable in my own skin. Coming to Alberta has really helped me, being around other natives and interacting with them and learning to love myself, not in spite of my skin being brown and not in spite of being Native, but because I am Native, because that is who God created me to be. My identity is in Him. Even after coming to know, to enjoy being Native, I would always, you know, be like, well, if I have this kind of education, or if I have this kind of car and this kind of house, and if my children act just right, then maybe I will be accepted. And it took me going to Spain and walking 300 kilometers just alone with Jesus, no other interference, to realize that my identity is not in any of those things. It is in Christ alone.
Second point. Then why do we commit the sin of racism? Why do we do it? Here's what the Bible says, okay? The Bible says, something has gone wrong in our DNA. We who are made in the image of God, our sole purpose is to bring glory to God. We are here to reflect His glory. Let me say what John Piper writes. He writes, images are created to image. Images are created to image. Let me say that this way. Images are created to represent something real, right? I'll give you two examples. The memorial of Martin Luther King Jr. You will, if you go to Washington, D.C., on the National Mall, you will see this great, colossal statue of Martin Luther King Jr. Now, it's an image that has been created to represent something else. And what is that something else? The person, the character, and the courage, and the works of this man who gave his life, who bled his blood to reserve the rights of every human being in the USA. Right? Second example. Have you been to New York, the upper New York Bay, and you will see this great statue of, that's right, okay? The Statue of Liberty. You will find this statue, and what does it stand? This image, this icon, has been created to represent something else. It represents what? Freedom and liberty, obviously. It stands tall in this bay of New York River, and it says to everyone, this nation stands for freedom and liberty. We want everyone who comes here to experience what we stand for, liberty and freedom. So here's the question. We are made in the image of God, right? So images are created to represent something else. So what are we here to represent? That's right. We are here to represent the glory of God. We are here to display the splendor of God. We are here to show how awesome, righteous, holy, good God is. We exist to bring glory to God. We are the means. God is the end. We are here to live for Him. However, the problem is this. The reason we commit the sin of racism is we have broken this image of God concept in our soul, in our nature. We are no longer, because when we rebel against God, what we say is this. God, I don't want to live for you. I want to live for myself. God, I'm not here to bring glory to you. I want everybody else, including you, to bring glory to me. So therefore, the image of God idea, that seed which has been planted in us, has been broken. It is no longer working right. In fact, it is creating havoc in our world. So since we are saying to God, I don't live for you, and I want everybody else to live for me, we are recreating our own image. We are not reflecting the glory of God. We are trying to fabricate our own self-worth, our own self-image, our own self-significance. And that's why we commit the sin of racism. Friends, you've done this before. When you put down someone else, how do you feel? You feel superior. So in the act of committing the sin of racism, what happens to our psyche and our psychology is we feel better than these people. We feel superior than those people. Why? Because we are trying to recreate that which is broken in us. We are trying to, as if a mirror trying to create its own light, as opposed to reflecting the light, the rays of the sun. And that's why we commit the sin of racism. Friends, what is the cure? How do we get out of this rut? We know this is wrong. I just told you so because it is inherent in all of us. The cure is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Our job is to face God in such a way that we reflect His glory. Our job, our purpose for living is to receive the glory of God as in a mirror and then display that to everyone else in our world and into the glory of God the Father. But instead, we put the mirror on ourselves. We try to fabricate and produce in our own might our self-significance. The good news is this. Jesus says in John chapter 4, if you see me, you've seen God. If you touch me, you've touched God. If you hear my voice, you're hearing God's voice. Let me quote Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 20. Listen to this as to what Christ represents. The Son, that's Jesus, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. My dear friends, here is the good news. Jesus Christ is the perfect representation, perfect icon, perfect image bearer of God. Because in Jesus, the Bible says, the fullness of God dwells. He's not just representing God as we were meant to, as in a mirror, but he is God himself. And he came all the way down from heaven, and he came to all of us. Why? To die, to shed his blood. For what purpose? By so doing so, he is re-renovating, restoring, and recreating the image of Godness in us. We need this desperately. We are not racist because we lack education, my friends. So often I hear people saying, what is the cure for racism? And they say, more education, friends. During the World War II, when the Nazis killed millions of Jews in the name of racism, in the name of genocide. The Germans at the time, they were the most intellectual people on the face of the earth. And today, in our day, in our right now, right here, it's not the lack of education. That is not the answer. Education is not the answer to racism. What we need is a new heart, new soul, new spirit that has a restored, renovated image of God in us. We need Jesus' help. He is the perfect representation of God. The fullness of God dwells in him, and he died to give you your voice. We were the voiceless, and yet Christ says, here, I'm going to die as one who is voiceless. The Bible says Jesus was like a sheep before a slaughter, and he was silent. He spoke no words, as if he is saying, I became voiceless to give you voice, everyone. And I give you, restore the self-dignity and self-value. Application. Number one, self-image. I'll be quick. Friends, those of you, I mean everyone here, everyone, your self-image is grounded not on the basis of your skin, but in the fact that you've been made in the image of God. That's right, that's right. And therefore, what you need is not a liberation from this oppression of racism. What you need more than anything else is your solid, robust understanding and view of this doctrine. You are made in the image of God. Your self-worth can never be taken away. Nobody can steal that from you, and you cannot give that away. It is in you. So preserve it, your self-worth, in the fact that you bear the likeness of God, your Creator. Number two, therefore, treat everyone, speak to everyone, behave toward everyone in a way that is worthy of who they are and of who you are. Because everyone, every person, whether black, white, yellow, it doesn't matter the color of your skin. What matters is that you are speaking to someone with the weight of God's glory. Remember that. Now, I want to say, let's invite back Vincent and Agnes, and let's receive their recommendation, their suggestion as to how we can give voice to the voiceless.
As a teenager, I feel that I was voiceless simply because I felt people were making fun of me. I felt people were racist, and the only way to really respond was to be quiet, to be voiceless. And in hindsight, that was the wrong thing to do. In hindsight, I should have basically spoken up, but I didn't. And at that time, I was too ashamed to share that with my guardians. I never brought this up at home. And so I stayed. The only way for me to deal with it was, again, to be just quiet and not to say much. And that's why as Christians, as human beings, we need to be able to, based on our experience, look at those that are in those positions and for us to be able to reach out to them and share our knowledge with them, our experiences with them, so that they don't go through the same pain that people like me went through, but they can come out of this faster and smarter than what I went through. So from a personal experience, my son went to the Black Lives Matter rally in Edmonton. He did not ask me. He told me afterwards. And when I asked him, his answer was, well, Dad, if I had asked you, you probably would have told me not to go. And he's right. I would have asked him not to go, not because I don't believe that he should not go, obviously, every parent wants their kid to be safe. And I would have told him not to go because for his safety. But I'm so proud that he did. Because that's one thing that I did wrong as a young person. When I was a teenager, I would have just given up and gone to my room. And I'm so proud that my son basically realized that this is wrong. And for him to get his voice heard, he needed to be out. So the point is, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what you have, what you don't have. We are fortunate to be in a great country like Canada, where our voices are heard through opportunities to be able to, you know, gather as group and basically in a very organized and safe manner, let the government and people know that there's certain things that we stand for and we do not. And the only way we can make change is to get involved. Change is not going to happen unless we get involved.
You need to hear us. People need to hear us. When we speak, they need to believe us. They can't say, you know, if I say that I have a brain injury, you can't say, no, you don't, you're drunk. You can stand up for us. You can support us. You can, you know, don't tell me that you're colorblind, because I really enjoy being Native. I really enjoy that my skin is brown and that sometimes I wear feathers in my hair. We need to celebrate our differences. Let us speak our own truth. Let us speak our own truth. We all have our experiences.
And lastly, let me end with this. The Mosaico Church wants to be on the side of the solution. We want to bring hope and joy and restoration to our city and to our world. And one of our key values at Mosaico Church is that we not only welcome and celebrate multicultural diversity, we want to go after it. We want to shout aloud that this is who we are, and we celebrate the fact that since we are all image bearers of God, we can now revel and bask in the diversity and the celebration of all the different backgrounds. Listen to this. Revelation in the Bible, chapter 7. After this, this is John writing, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from every tribe, from every people, and from every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. That's Jesus Christ. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Friends, let us, as the church community, let us be a showcase to our city and to the world that we embrace and celebrate the diversity and the joy of who we are, the image bearers of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us voice to the voiceless. Thank you for giving us the restoration of who we are, that we are image bearers of God. Now, help us now by the power of your Holy Spirit to make this, to spread throughout the city and throughout the nation, throughout the world, that in Jesus Christ we can respect everyone and we can preserve the dignity of everyone, especially when it comes to race. In the name of Christ, we pray. And everyone say together, Amen.